Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tolis, and Trent Hart. And good evening. Welcome to a special edition of the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box. Trent Hart over there in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box. How are you doing on this Monday night, Trent?
Man, I'm excited that we're talking about what we're about to talk about, right? Because the pipe bomb that which was this Monday is interesting to say the least.
To say the least. And you know, Trent, you and I talk, we talked this morning on our way to our real job this morning, and we get phone calls all the time, like throughout the week, the day, about different games, teams, players. We get there's all kinds of conversation, and you and I talked about it, like with you being over there in Anahuac, play calling and stuff like that. You know, it's like typical dad stuff, right? In comparison to the game, and everybody's a better coach than what's out there coaching the game. And I get the same phone calls, you know, and talking about defenses and, you know, we should have ran this and why do we do that? And, you know, so on and so forth, a 3-4 versus a 5-2. And, you know, on the defense with some of these teams that, you know, Cold Springs has played and so you get all of these conversations and they come in and you always hear them out and you get the opportunity to, you know, voice your opinion, throughout all of it. And it makes for so much fun and why we do what we do as far as covering, Texas high school football. And, you know, I just today I got a phone call and I was like, or I got a message and, you know, hey, give me a call when you get a chance. And you know, it's one of our loyal followers, you know, that follows us along. And they told me what was going on with,
and this was just to let everybody know, this was prior. We knew about this prior to the news breaking.
Yes, we knew about this well before the news breaking, and getting the insight and getting the conversation. And we are on Facebook Live as well there on 599 Sports, and y'all chime in over there. Appreciate everybody tuning in on the Facebook Live feed. So, you know, I kind of had a lot of things running through my head, and then, you know, kind of trying to wrap my mind around all of this as we, you know, are more than three quarters of the way through the regular season of Texas high school football. Everybody's deep into district play, and it's a district that we, you and I and Toby, whenever he's in the hot box as well, it's a district that we talk about a lot because it's the bye district that we play with. You know,
well, and it's a district that y'all used to be a part of.
Most Cold definitely. Spring. Yes.
Well, you know,
we were in that district with them and that District 9. And when the realignment came out this year, we got moved over into that district down there in District 10 with East Chambers and Orangefield, Anahuac, Hardin, Kirbyville, and Buna. So, which brought Teague and Huntington into that district, or excuse me, Teague and Fairfield into that district 9-3A. So, we've been following that district pretty heavy, and we've been really, really high on this Palestine Westwood football team, and I've been high on them for a number of years.
We both kind of have, right? I mean, I got to see this team firsthand in a bye district round the year before last.
Right.
And they were young then. Yes. But even then, they were talented. And you could tell that they were talented even at a young age.
No, they were. And it's a team that 5-6 years ago, whenever I kind of got on that horse about Palestine Westwood, of course, we were seeing them year in and year out, being in the same district for a number of years. I was like, this team, this program is really, really excelling, you know, under the leadership of Coach Richard Bishop. And was really watching this, have followed this team, and people were just like, Craig, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I said, no. I said, you just watch. And now they're coming back, and they're like, no, okay, maybe you weren't too far-fetched. But never in my dreams, my wildest dreams, did I ever expect to have – what dropped on us today, drop on us, alleged, on this Palestine Westwood football team. And, you know, I want to talk about the district first, right, out of District 9-3A, Trent. And you have two teams at the top of the leaderboard, and Fairfield's 2-0 in district, Palestine Westwood 2-0 in district, an overall record of 7-0. Dieball 1-1. They just lost to Westwood this last week.
Part 40, of our pick-ups.
Yeah, 41-13 was the final there. Then you got Teague that's 1-1. They have Palestine Westwood this week. Mm-hmm. Crockett 0-2, Huntington 0-2. Crockett and Huntington play each other this week. Which, with saying all of
we'll
that.
We'll talk about the implications here in a minute.
Right, and we're gonna dive pretty deep through this rabbit hole and kind of what can happen. And nothing is – so the alleged was recording of coaches. And Trent, you have that statement pulled up on your extra screen. And we're going to read verbatim what was said, right? Because we don't want to get misconstrued.
No, over, and we don't.
Over
we wanna,
the direction we're going.
We want to make sure that we're conveying facts, right?
Right.
And then potential scenarios,
right,
of what could happen once decisions are concrete and set in stone, right?
Right.
So the issue at hand is that Palestine Westwood's AD and head coach, Coach Bishop, was at a game between Teague and Fairfield, correct? That did I freeze up on you?
Yeah, you froze up just a little bit. So, go ahead, Trent. You're back in.
So, they were at a football game Friday night, Teague versus Fairfield. They were on the 50-yard line, and a employee of Westwood High School was there with him, and he was taking video. And they were sitting next to each other. And some of the coaches up in the press box notices it. And then that's when the ball starts rolling.
Drop your video feed.
Okay. Is that any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So I apologize. So the coaches in the press box see this. And then that's when the ball starts rolling. So I'm going to read the Dave Campbell's statement first, and then we'll, you know, just to give you some context. The DEC, which is the District Executive Committee, laid out several punishments for Coach Bishop and the Westwood football program, ruling that Westwood and Coach Bishop committed violations that were intentional, serious, and egregious decisions, disregarding rules of fair play, according to sources with knowledge of the meeting committed today. The DEC also ruled that Westwood must forfeit all district games for the rest of the 2024 season, including games that have not yet to be played, and has also suspended another Westwood ISD employee for all district athletic events for the remainder of the season. Both suspensions are recommendations from the DEC to the UIL State Executive Committee. Sources have confirmed to Dave Campbell's If Palestine Westwood intends to appeal all of the DEC's rulings to the UIL State Executive Committee, SEC, a meeting by the SEC to hear the appeal will likely take place very soon, as there are just 3 weeks remaining in the regular season before the playoffs. And again, Palestine Westwood is currently undefeated in 9-3A, 7-0 on the 2024 season, and ranked number 6 as much as today's rankings go.
So rankings come out today, and and they were ranked 6th. Now, this ranking come out, they came out prior to the meeting even starting.
Yeah, they were number 6 last week.
Right. So there was another article that came out from the Fairfield News, which is goes a little more self-explanatory. It explains a little bit more, right?
In depth. Way more in depth.
So, and there is an article out there, and Trent sent me the article as well. It says breaking down and just kind of starting, it says when making this decision, Skinner, which was one of the superintendents, we have to keep the best interest of the student and all students in all districts in mind, not just those at Westwood. Bowman led the meeting. Stanford Bishop McCoy and Glenn Tunstall told what occurred during the Fairfield Teague game Friday night, October 11th. Westwood had moved their game that week to Thursday night, but none of the other schools had been notified. Bishop and McCoy attended the game and said on the home side, much as what you said, which what you were reading. But it spells out in this article about the Fairfield coaches witnessing, and it even names the coaches who what was going on in the videotaping that went on in that football game. So kind of hard evidence, right? Now, the intentions, we don't know because we weren't there. We're not in their heads, right? But at the end of the day, with the DEC ruling, you know, you're punishing, unfortunately, a bunch of kids, right?
That's the biggest drawback to this whole deal,
right?
Right. There are the student athletes that are involved here, based on the decisions of some what is yet to be determined irresponsible adults.
Exactly. And so, you know, this thing can go a bunch of different ways. The UIL can say no. I find it hard. So, in my opinion, I find it hard. How can you punish them? You've suspended the coach, right? The DEC said, no, you're not coaching anymore the rest of this year and or in the postseason. But yet you're going to forfeit your games, even the games that haven't been played, which they have a big matchup with Teague this week. Sure. So they've suspended the coaches. There's other coaches within the staff, right, that can lead this football team. And who knows what the school district, what they're going to do down, you know what I mean, waiting on a ruling from the UIL.
Right.
But if I don't feel that it's right to punish them. Okay, you wipe out the district records that Palestine Westwood has right now. And obviously they're 2-0. They're two district wins, one against Crockett, one against Dieball. So they still have the heat of the district right ahead of them. And I feel like that these kids, they've been successful. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how many signs you steal or anything like that. The kids still got to get out there and play. And you're talking about kids performing actions on the field. And all of these teams swap videotape each and every week before they match up, right?
Yes, and to elaborate on that, because I think a lot of the comments that I was reading on Facebook today were like, well, I mean, you know, videotape is exchanged between coaches and teams all the time, and there's, you know, the technology that is involved in video exchange is this, that, and the other. What most people don't understand is that coaches request film through Huddle. Yep. To each other. I get notifications all the time, you know, as far as, you know, because I'm involved with our school's, you know, just getting that thing set up so that we can broadcast on Thursday nights for JV games and middle school games, so on and so forth.
Right.
However, so there are always requests going on between coaches and requesting game footage, right? And it not necessarily means that it's the game footage that that everybody thinks it is. You know, it's basically broken down by huddle and sent to the teams, and they're able to analyze it and then go on. Now, in those videos, you're not seeing what is being done on the sidelines for the most part.
Correct.
As far as signals and interactions between coaches and players, you'd see some.
Right.
You know, you're going to get some of that. But the rule violation here is that it's not that it's not allowed that coaches can go and scout teams personally. That's perfectly okay. Coaches can go to football games, sit in the stands, and watch a team play. Nothing wrong with that.
Take notes, do whatever they want to do, while as long as.
Yeah, you cannot take personal video at all when you go attend one of these games.
Right. Without both teams' consent.
Consent. Correct.
Right. So they have to have both teams' consent, and they didn't have that. They didn't have either team, Fairfield and or Teague's, consent to video. And I know the argument here is, well, it was the technology teacher. He was doing this for the girl, and it spells it out in the article to send to this girl. But if you're the technology teacher, you got plenty of access to film. It's just kind of what I'm thinking. I'm not a rocket scientist by no means. But if you're
to elaborate on it, there were a bunch of calls being exchanged once the coaches had figured out that, you know, video was being taken.
Right.
Coaches upstairs in the press box. And right. Then what I found interesting is that there was a call made to Bishop, and then Bishop told the employee of the school to delete any videos he had on his phone. The employee then admitted he was taking film on the sidelines and plays, and he was taking the videos to send to a girl in Virginia. You just mentioned that.
Right.
But Coach Bishop, who was sitting next to the employee, said he didn't know that he was taking video. Come on, man. If you're sitting next to somebody.
Right.
You can't tell me that you didn't know that they were taking video.
Yeah. No, it's very contradicting, right?
Yes.
And you know, look, I don't want to, at the end of the day, with what we do, we work with these coaches, you know, and setting up.
No, I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just trying to
lay the factual information of what we have via the articles with the information that was provided for us. Right. And that's all public. It's not anything that we're pulling out from anywhere else. And, you know, and like I say, I got this information early today, before any of this come out, before the meeting was ever started. Right. I had this information, but I didn't say anything and put anything out there for the simple fact that, you know, one, you always have some hearsay, right? But I didn't want to put anything out there without having the rest of the information. Right.
I wanted all the facts.
Correct. I wanted to be able to put it all out there. And unfortunately, with me being at work, I wasn't able to break this thing as soon as what I wanted to. But I called you and we kind of had a rundown with it and all that good stuff. But got a couple guys chiming in on the live chat. And Ray Parkinson said the kids are the only ones that's going to hurt. And he's correct. And then
absolutely is correct.
Robbie Burbwell, he said, this is sad that you have to feel for the kids that, and the work, all the work they put in. And I agree. And
absolutely.
I said that just a few minutes ago. I mean, these kids have worked their tails off to get to the position where they're at, and the coaching staff has as well, to now have a situation. And now you're going back and you're thinking, well, how many other games did they win due to the same, right, aspect? Who knows? We'll never know, right? Unless the UIL decides, you know what, we're going to investigate this deeper and we're going to subpoena his phone records or his phone, and we're going to see what kind of information. Just hope it's not Apple, right? Because Apple won't give you rights to anything. But but so you have all of that that goes into the factor. But let's just take the basis at hand. First and foremost, you're going to forfeit their game. So just say they forfeit those two games against Crockett.
Before you go on to that, Craig, I just want to, because a lot of people are asking, you know, about the evidence and about what was presented. And just so that we can move on to what could and could not happen. So the Fairfield coaches took video of what was going on during the game from the press box. And they showed this video in the meeting today with the district executive committee. When that was shown, it showed the employees filming. His phone turned sideways and can be seen zooming into the sideline, then zooming away to get the entire play. And then when asked what he thought after seeing the videos, Coach Bishop said it's less than ideal. It isn't a good look. He would never tell someone to film, especially when they were sitting on the center of the 50-yard line. And it doesn't look good. If you're on the outside looking in and you're watching this video, if you're the guys that are sitting on the executive committee and you see this, the evidence points to, okay, you're zooming into the sideline, you're zooming out. It looks as if that's what was going on.
Right.
Even though you say that to the contrary, it still looks that way.
Right. The perception that you put out, right? It's no, we could give a million different examples of what that perception is in life of different things that you do. But sitting there in that particular time, in that moment, you know, the perception was you were videoing a football game. You were zooming in on the coaches, sending in the plays. You were zooming out, right, to get the play. And that's all an opportunity for you to steal signs and signals what's going in and to watch the play. And like I said, there's thousands of minutes of film that get traded every week. Texas high school football of any opponent you want. Now I'm sure that these coaching staffs have a coach that says, hey, we'll trade video with them, but just in some end zone views and zoomed in X amount to where it doesn't show our sidelines. That way they can't see the signals. I mean, I talk about Cold Spring all the time on the home games. They got a kid that runs around with Coach Green when they're on offense, holding a piece of cardboard up, blocking so nobody can see what signal Coach Green signaling in for the offense, you know. And I joke around about it, and I'm like, man, I said they do this for the home games, but yet they go to the away games and they don't have this. So, you know, they're looking at the stands. So there's all kinds of capabilities for people to be able to get film, be able to study, be able to see what's going on. And Coach Green signaling in to have this situation, you know, it just really stinks.
I was trying to get over to the comments because I noticed that there were a few more comments. So, but anyway, no, you're right. It's you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, we talked about it earlier and about if there was any precedence for something like this as far as UIL rulings are concerned, and there might be something out there that the UIL has had to rule on that is similar to this as far as taking film during a live opponent's football game. And if there is a precedence for that, then it's a really, really good chance that the UIL is going to stick to that precedence, right?
Right.
They rarely deviate from any past experience and as far as any suspensions or whatever is handed down.
Right. So I did some Googling and searching through UIL and haven't been able, I found suspensions for recruiting purposes. You know, they had the Alto deal where they got suspended for a season in the postseason. So there's a lot there and of other, but nothing on the video aspect. Right. A whistleblower just came in. Dang it, I'm late to the party.
Isn't he always?
Yeah, he always is. He's always about a week behind. But so with that being said, you know, with the what the committee has come up with, right, is probably a lot harsher than what the UIL is going to counter back and say, no, this is what you're going to do. You know,
possibly. I don't know. The UIL has handed down some pretty harsh, you know, repercussions for schools and teams in the past. I mean, as far as, you know, 2-year suspensions from playoffs, there's, you know, a lot of that has revolves around recruiting, right? That's right. The most of the things and eligibility that we've found today digging around.
Right. So with what they have now, basically with what the committee has come up with, which is the superintendents, it's basically Palestine Westwood, you're done. Go ahead and start airing up basketballs. It's basketball season, right? You're going to get a little practice early. And I don't think that's right. I don't. I think you suspend the coach. You eliminate him from the equation. You forfeit the 2 games against Crockett and Dieball that are district games. And let's be real. Westwood beat that Crockett team 63-14. They beat Dieball 41-13. Was told the official.
They didn't need to steal signs, right?
Right, exactly.
I mean, they're a talented enough football team.
What?
But they didn't need that edge.
Go back
whether
to
it was
start,
done or not done.
Go back to the start of the season. They were at Mahia. They beat them 77-42. First game of the season. First game.
Yeah.
St. Augustine, 56-0. At Timpson, 63-34. At home with Hemp Hill, 63-15. Beaumont, Kelly, 43-0. Surprised it wasn't more than that. Then they beat Crockett at home 63-14, then on the road at Dieball 41-13. And so they have Teague this week, and that's going to be interesting, right? Because now you take a Westwood team that's 2-0 in district, now move them to 0-2, but can still compete to make a playoff spot, right?
Averaging 58 points per game.
Yeah, it's just crazy number. So if they allow them to finish the season, and I think that that's the right thing to do, eliminate the coach, punish him, let them finish the season, the regular season, right? Westwood can still make the playoffs.
Technically, yes, because there's only – they only have 5 – district games,
right? So just throw on a limb, they go undefeated. I mean, they have Teague, Fairfield, and Huntington are their last 3 opponents in this district. They could go 3-2, make the playoffs, and a whack fools around and mysteriously wins first out of this district, and then you have a Palestine Westwood and a whack by district round. How does that sound, Trent?
No. Well, I mean, I love competitive games, right? And I would like to see that matchup, just not in the first round.
Me and Toby have been jawing about this and said, man, this would be the matchup. So, I mean, so in a hypothetical situation, right, as it sets right now with what the committee has come up with, Palestine Westwood is done for the 2024 football season. That is the official ruling that's in print.
Right? As it stands, right? And just to reiterate that the district committee, the district executive committee, will not hand down a suspension of a coach. That is a recommendation to the UIL.
Right.
Okay. However, the suspension of games or the forfeiture of games does come from the district level.
Yes.
And that is more of a nail in the coffin than, you know, the coach thing, especially when it comes to these kids, right? Because that's what's most important in this whole scenario is not the actions of the adults, and what they did, but it's how it affects these kids. Now, there are rules in place, and you and I both are very headstrong when it comes to following rules. They're there for a reason, right?
Yeah.
District executive committees are there for a reason. This is the way it's been done for ever, right? And there's not going to be any change to it. I think I told you earlier that I'd be interested to know how often the UIL overturns district executive committee rulings or suggestions.
Right.
That's what I'd like to know.
No, and I agree.
I'm sure it's happened.
Yes. I'm sure it has. Just in the short amount of time that we've had, right? Being able to pull it down and figure out how many times this has happened. I'll tell you, somebody who would know or have a better idea would be Mike Sanchez down there in Silsby. He really follows the UIL rulings and with what they do. Does a really good job with that. And I'm going to tell you somebody else, Ashley Elam will be one that could probably comment on that as well.
Sure.
With his history and in the way he, as much as he's been involved with Texas high school football, he's got mine and yours. He's got us whooped on both on time with what he's done. But I mean, so I'm looking at this as really and truly more optimistic for the kids is where I'm at. Well, it goes, I guess the one spot for in the district is up for grabs. You're right, bud. It is up for grabs, and that game's getting played this week between Dieball and Fairfield. Honestly, so just
even Teague, if this is the case, right? If the games right. are wiped away, especially the first. Two games. Teague has a chance at that first seed as well.
Yeah, so and now you're sitting with three teams that are 2-0, right? And three teams that are 0-2, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Because Teague has not played.
Teague plays them this week.
Yeah, Teague plays them this week. Dieball moves to 2-0, and then Crockett moves to 1-1, right, in this district, because they suffered the loss to Westwood, so they'll get a one with an asterisk by it, I guess, for right now. So, I mean, you break this down. I'm really curious, you know, and you would think that the UIL is going to make a ruling by Thursday, right?
Not tomorrow.
You think tomorrow?
After I've looked at the how often they meet, I think this is a high-profile type deal, and they're going to want to take care of it quickly.
Right. Well, and you could be right, and I bet you are right. I'm saying by Thursday it'll be settled, and we'll have all the answers that we're looking for from the UIL and with what they're going to do. Would it surprise me if they say, look, you're going to finish out the regular season, but you're not postseason eligible? It wouldn't surprise me if they come down with that ruling as well. That way you
Very much
can,
possible.
That way you can complete the district games. Now, the other side to it is T going to be willing to play, right? Is T going to be really willing to play them? Is Fairfield going to be willing to play them? And is Huntington going to be willing to play them?
Well, Teague and Fairfield especially, right? Because that's the game that this all occurred at.
Right.
And to Teague and Fairfield's, you know, argument, they have a fair argument. I'm not going to sit here and say that they were just completely extra in this. They had a legitimate argument, which is why this went to the executive committee anyway. So, yes, to say what you know, is Teague going to be willing? Is Fairfield going to be willing? They're already changing their signals and all that, right? That's already happening.
Right.
But they have a fair argument. Think that like you said, I think the district committee's rulings and recommendation is kind of harsh to wipe a team's, you know, winning record. You know, a team that's probably the best team that Westwood has seen, you know, since their inception.
Right.
Right. Because they haven't been a school for that long.
Right? Correct. I don't know how long they've been in. in
90s,
probably early 2000s, maybe. So I'm not quite sure, but you know, here's another thought, right? On the other aspect of this with these kids and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I mean, is depending on what the UIL comes down with is, you know, in a worst case scenario, is Coach Bishop going to be out of a job at the end of this season? Right? There's that you got to think about. I mean, it's such a domino effect as you progress down in, you know, what the community does and how they stand behind there. Right? How do they stand behind the coach? How does the school board stand behind what they're doing and what he's doing? What's going to happen in that aspect? Are they going, you know?
Look, I did misspeak. They've been around since 61.
Okay, yeah.
And this is by far the best team that they've had. 243, 385, and 9 is their all-time record.
So not even playing 500 football.
Yeah, 2-8 in playoffs. Only 2 playoff victories since their inception.
Right.
So to erase a team that is the best that they've ever had.
Yeah, this is a historic run for these guys.
Sure it is.
And we talked about it. This is a team that we felt like could make a legitimate run for a state title. Right.
They're in the mix, definitely. Yeah. They wouldn't be ranked if they weren't in the conversation.
Right. Between them out of this region, them, Hitchcock, and Columbus, right?
Right. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, on our podcast episode 31. They're on Apple and Spotify, which you're listening to now. If you're not streaming on the Facebook live feed there at 599 Sports, give us a like, give us a share. Some good topics, and got a few people that's chimed in on the chat over there on Facebook Live as well. But basically everybody agreeing with, you know, the kids suffering for an adult's actions. And, you know, it happens a lot that way. You know, you got kids in life that have to suffer due to parents' actions in life with whatever they do, if it's, you know, drug or alcohol abuse or whatever else they may do. You know, the kids are always the one who gets the short end of the stick at the end of the day. They lose mom, they lose dad due to an addiction and or going to jail. However it falls out, the kids are the one who suffers. And, you know, a lot of times I've always thought that kids have a choice in life, and it can make them stronger or it can make them really set back and go down a deep rabbit hole. I feel like in this type situation that if the UIL will just hold up the suspension on Coach Bishop and let the kids play, that it'll help make these kids stronger. Now they have more of a reason to play, right, in their mind. They got to play for their coach, their leader, who has been leading them. Whether he had anything or any involvement in the videoing, obviously, the article says one thing, and we read that, so everybody can form their own opinion, right? But these kids have an opportunity to really overcome and still be competitive, you know?
Sure.
And whenever I'm talking about District 10 3A with matching up with District 9 3A, and you let Palestine Westwood continue their season and possibly make a playoff run, depending on what the UIL hands down, and if they overturn the executive committee's ruling, you got a Westwood team that's going to be playing the one seed, and we know what kind of a circus we got going on over in District 10 3A, trying to get that leveled out.
Yeah. But I think that, again, just for those that might be just getting in, the recommendation is to suspend the coach. The ruling, the official ruling, is to forfeit the current season and the wins prior and their games yet to be played. So the question is, and I'm going to ask you first and then I'll go.
Okay.
Is, and you've kind of already touched on it earlier. What do you think in your heart of hearts is going to be the UIL's decision on that recommendation and on the decision to forfeit the season?
I'm going to ask Facebook as well the same questions. What are y'all's thoughts? Yeah. Those of y'all, we got some viewers there on the Facebook Live as well. Put it in the comments. What is your thoughts? What do you think UIL is going to do for?
What do you think they should do?
Yeah. What would be the repercussion, right? What, cause and effect, right? There was a rule broken. What would you do if you were UIL? I'm curious to know what everybody thinks. I got a pretty good synopsis just by the comments that are on there of what people think. So, but put it in there, throw it in the chats. I'm very curious to see. So y'all get them thumbs going and let us know. I truly think that the coach will one his suspension there. That's going to happen. And I think he's going to end up getting probably a 2-year suspension at the end of the day.
At a minimum,
you know, but yet you think about also, you got to look back at the suspension that they handed down to North Shore's coach on the recruiting violation, right? He only got a 2-game suspension out of that deal. So it's kind of hard to figure out which way to go, but I'm going to go with a 2-year suspension on the coach. I think that they're going to let them finish out the regular season, but yet not be playoff eligible.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. And I think you're on the right track. I think since there isn't necessarily a precedence that we could find today on when it comes to videoing during a opponent's game, that will also, you know, weigh heavy on the state executive committee's decision here if there is a precedence, right? We don't know that. We'll find that out whenever they meet. However,
and here's the deal, Trent. Hang on just a second before you go. Here's the deal. We have not been able to find where this has happened prior to this, right?
Right.
We can't find where this has happened prior to. And if you think about it, the technology with videoing on phones hasn't been around really and truly that long. So with where we're at today in technology wise, you got to take that in as far as looking back at the UIL and trying to find something similar to this prior to.
No, right. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, but judging on UIL's tendencies and seeing some of the disciplinary actions that they have given in the past leading up to this,
right.
I think you're on the right track. I think the coach will get suspended, whether it's 1 year or 2 years. I also think that, you know, they'll uphold the suspension of the other employee that was involved.
Right.
For sure. No doubt about that one. And then it comes down to the decision that was made on forfeiting the games.
Right.
Now, in my mind, if you let them finish out the season, right, everything stays the same, prior games and the games yet to be played, and say that they're eliminated from the playoffs, those games don't mean anything anyway. So why, if I'm the coach from Teague, Fairfield, or Huntington, why am I going to risk my players getting possibly injured in a game against a Westwood team that doesn't matter? Do I sit them and let my twos and threes go?
That's exactly where I was fixing to go with that. I was going to counter back on you and say, you know what, this is an opportunity for you to play your twos and threes, give them some in-game experience, and that's going to be valuable minutes in a football game to get them ready for the playoffs.
Yes, and I mean, but it's those next three games are essentially a wash, you know, and don't mean anything as far as if the UIL were to say no playoffs.
Right.
So that's one scenario.
So we had a couple people. Go ahead.
No. Well, the other scenario
yeah.
is – and just this is I've seen the UIL make decisions, you know, and this is again revolving around recruiting and eligibility type things, where teams were suspended from the playoffs for 2 seasons.
Right.
And if I had to guess, it will end up being 1 season or 2 seasons. I'm leaning toward 1, as in being ineligible for playoffs.
So,
and again, that's just based on UIL tendencies.
I'm pulling up a deal because
and again, like, I don't agree with that.
Right.
In my mind, it's like, just what if it were me making this kind of decision, and God forbid I ever have to make some kind of decision like this. Yeah. To me, it's suspend the coach, right? Wipe away those 2 first district wins. Let them finish the last 3 games and still be eligible for the playoffs.
And that may very well happen. And I had something pop up.
That's personal.
I had something pop up just a little bit in my mind. Alto was suspended for 2 years, for due to enrollment issues, as they misreported student enrollment numbers to the UIL. And I was thinking it was actually something else, but they were suspended 2 years. The district was for 2 years and not eligible for the postseason, but yet played the regular season. So a little bit different, you know, and that was a reporting deal. Going back to our Facebook comments, it had several kind of keen in. Peggy Murray said, suspend the coach and let the kids play. Ronald Nelson from down there in Cleveland, and said, you have to punish the coach and whoever is involved, but you have to let kids play. High school football is probably all most of these kids will ever play. And there's a lot to that, right?
Sure there is.
And then Aaron Ward, he was on the podcast last night, said, I kind of get why the recommendation is all district games. In some sense, you're giving the 2 other teams a free win. I hate that the kids have to pay for it, but it's also about other teams as well. Incredibly hard situation to navigate. Now, and he's right, it is. And, you know, I've been trying to wrap my head around this all day long, as I'm just like, crap, what do? You know? And, you know, I think if it was me, if I was the one, I was the decision maker, I would eliminate the coach, and all parties that were involved in that aspect. And the caring about the kid aspect part of me is let the kids play football. But yet there's another part of me that's like, you really got to let kids understand that there's repercussions due to actions. And sometimes yes, those kids experiencing those repercussions, then that is a more valuable lesson in life as they grow, right? That they're figuring out that, you know what, I remember whenever I was in high school, my coach did this, and this is 10 years down the road, right? 12 years down the road, they remember this, and it's a life lesson that they'll always remember. Even the seniors, and that's the ones I really feel bad for. Even the seniors, the ones that have to suffer that, I feel bad for those guys. But, you know, it's a lesson that maybe the valedictorian plays on that football team, and it's in a message that he can send out to his peers, right, when he gives his speech, you know, or when a guy's in college playing at the next level. Man, there was 1 year that we didn't get to play, you know. This is the best team in history for the Palestine Westwood Panthers. And they're one, have an asterisk by their name now, like Barry Bonds. And 2, are probably not going to get to compete and have that opportunity at the state title, much like Pete Rose didn't get his opportunity for the Hall of Fame.
That's a good point. A good analogy. Because it does. It sucks really bad for those seniors. I mean, you think about them. They've been playing through since 2020. Probably some of them have been starting since 2020.
Yeah.
Going 3-7 that season, and then steadily building, you know, 3-7, 4-6, 5-5, 9-3 last year, and now 7-0.
Yeah.
On track to be one of the best teams in the state of Texas.
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, could you go back and you look at this 3A Division I? Okay. You got Columbus, Malakoff, which, because Joe Grimes is going to listen, Winsboro's beating Malakoff this year. That's just for Joe. Bushland, Edna. Those 1, 2, 3, those four teams are 7-0. You got Hitchcock in the 5 spot, 6-1. Westwood, 7-0. Jefferson, 7-0. Goliad, 6-1. Texarkana, Liberty, Elihu Leopards, 6-1. And then Winsboro is 7-1 in the 10 spot. So they're amongst the greatest this year in Texas high school football 3A Division I and as undefeated teams. Columbus and Hitchcock play this week. That's going to be that's a huge game. We talked about it last night in our show. Malakoff's not going to have a challenge till they face Winsboro at the end of the season in November 8th. So there's a couple of these teams that are going to possibly have a loss before they get to the end of the season. Westwood was sitting in a situation to be 10-0 at the end of this season.
Yeah. And they most likely would have. And right. Still can be, depending on what the decision is, right?
Right.
But
I truly think that if they let them play, they're gonna mark those first two district games as a forfeit.
Yeah, I do too. Because there's no way you can't prove,
right?
Even if there was some shady stuff going on in there, the video stuff is true. There's no way to go back and say, okay, these games weren't affected by that.
Right.
All these games prior.
Right.
And just to wrap up here, if they come back and say that Palestine's, you know, all those W's go away, then that means all of those teams would get that W back.
Correct.
So just to be clear, that's what would happen if the ruling is upheld.
Right. So you would go back, and not just in district, but overall, right?
Right.
Mahia would get a win. St. Augustine, Timpson, Hemp Hill, Beaumont Kelly, Crockett, and Dieball. That would improve all of their Dieball. Like I said, would increase to 2-0 versus 1-2. And you know, really and truly, I don't care about the non-district schedule. It's overall, right? Because
well, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
That's right. That's chapter two of Texas high school football. Then, you know, you got your scrimmages. You got chapter two, which is your preseason football. And then you get into district plays, chapter three. And then chapter four is your postseason. And then the fifth and final chapter is a state championship, you know. So it just how deep do you want to get? And that's just how I kind of look at it. So, you know, like you say, Crockett and Dieball, everything holds up the way that the DEC has ruled. And the key thing that really sticks out to me with the DEC ruling is they forfeit all games in the postseason.
Yes.
That's what sticks out the most in me because that means that the Teague game, the Fairfield game, and the Huntington game does not get played.
No, and that is worst case scenario,
right,
by the way.
Yes.
Is that the DEC's rulings and recommendation is upheld. That's worst case scenario for Westwood at this point.
So
best case scenario for them is that it's completely overturned, which it's very unlikely. UIL very rarely will completely overturn
right.
something like this.
So,
right?
with
so something's going to happen.
Right. So with saying that, looking over at Teague's schedule, they have Westwood this week, then Huntington, then Dieball. Fairfield has Dieball this week, then Westwood, then Crockett. And Dieball has Fairfield, Crockett, Teague left. So that's who they have left to play. But let's not forget, there's one more team that's in the mix, and that's Crockett, right? Crockett slash Huntington, and we'll find out. Crockett and Huntington play this week.
Especially if it's upheld, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, that fourth seed comes down to Crockett-Huntington this week.
Yes, in the magnitude of that game. And it just, with all of this and with what the UIL does bring down, that increases the magnitude of that game, especially if Palestine Westwood ends up ineligible for the postseason. Then the winner of this Huntington-Crockett game is pivotal, right? And that game is really big. It's at home at Monty Jack Driscoll Stadium for the Crockett Bulldogs. First time they can make the playoffs in a few years. So if they are able to pull one out against Huntington, I will say this. Huntington has not had the best season this year, as they have not won a football game. They're 0-7. But I can remember just a few short years ago where Huntington wasn't having a very successful season, and a little team by the name of the Cold Spring Trojans went to Huntington and gave a game away. And Cold Spring didn't make the playoffs that year. So
this goes to show you that you never know what's going to happen in Texas high school football. And this news that broke today even solidified that.
Yes.
I mean, because whenever you called and told me before the news broke, I mean, I was flabbergasted.
Right.
Like, wow. I mean, because it's so close to home.
It really is.
You know, you don't expect things like that to come so close to home when you know, controversy like this happens. So whenever you told me, it was just like, man, that's absolutely insane, given especially how well that they've been doing all year.
No, most definitely. It was a shocker for me whenever I got the phone call and talked about it this morning. I was really shocked about how this has came down. And, but we'll see. We'll keep you posted. Stay tuned to the 590 Sports page. We may come back live again after the UIL has their release and talk about it a little bit more. But, I mean, yeah, we beat this thing pretty hard, and we appreciate all the people there on Facebook Live that has tuned in here to the 590 Sports Show for, we'll call this episode 32.5.
Yeah,
because we very seldom do we put two episodes out in 1 week, two shows out in 1 week, but we have, and it's going to give people something to listen to on the way to work tomorrow morning and throughout the week. And just want to remind everybody that Wednesday nights we're at Bullet Grill, 401 Highway 156, Point Blank, Texas. Come by and see us. We get set up there about 5:45, 6 o'clock, kick the show off. $1.60 wing night at Bullet Grill House. So y'all come hang out with us. And then don't forget our sponsors, Porter's Processing down there in Anahuac, Texas. And then also our good friends over at Randy's Rubs. It don't suck, y'all. So Trent, I appreciate you taking the time out of your evening, jumping on and being able to put this together tonight for the people at home. And so they could get our take on how we feel about this whole situation. And I think everybody feels kind of the same way. There may be one or two people that just are really off the bubble, if you will, but I think we all kind of have the same opinion on what should happen now. It's just in the hands of the UIL.
No, you're right. And it's, again, pay attention to, you know, our Facebook pages, and we might go live again. And this is something we're definitely going to be staying on top of. And like you said, I think most people are in agreement, especially the ones on the outside looking in and looking for the best interest of these kids and the work that they've put in. And but what we do know is that there's going to be some repercussion.
Right.
I don't think the slate's going to be wiped completely clean, but we'll find out in the next day or two.
you're listening to the 590. Let me back up. For Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp Box, I'm Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs Hot Box, powered by Tex Podcast Media. We will see you at the game.
The game.
From custom processing, professional guided hunts, high tanning, and gator merchandise, Porter's Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Porter's has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Porter's Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to PortersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.